Yo, yo, yo. Yeah. What's happening? What up, though? What's good with it? It's your boy T-Lib bringing you another episode of the Speak On It podcast. And we back at it again today, man. Obviously, we, if you was tuned in to Monday Night Football last night, you had the Detroit Lions and the Las Vegas Raiders. Detroit football. Hey, Detroit been balling, man. But let's get into it. Let's break it down real quick. I hope y'all enjoying y'all day. And let's get it. Let's talk about this game. Obviously, the Detroit Lions took care of home field advantage. Ford Field was rocking. If you was watching it on TV or if you were there, if you were downtown, I'm sure you seen the atmosphere, felt the atmosphere, felt the grit that comes from Detroit. Man, Detroit playing hard. They playing tough. They doing their thing. They won the game 26-14. They left a couple points out there as well. They ended up throwing a pick six. So their defense literally shut the Raiders down. Raiders barely had over 100 yards passing. Josh Jacobs had 15 carries for 61 rushing yards. And the most receiving yards their receiver had was 27 yards, and that was a running back. Josh Jacobs had 2 receptions for 27 yards. And this is a team that has Hunter Winfrey, Hooper, Jacoby Myers came from the Patriots, a nice, solid receiver in the NFL that can make some plays. And Mayer, a rookie tight end that came from Notre Dame. And y'all already know about Devontae Adams. By far, one of the best receivers in the NFL that we have seen in the last 5 years. He had 1 catch for 11 yards. He was literally missed by Jimmy G on multiple throws. I seen him miss him on a double move throw. I seen him miss him backed up coming out of the end zone where he threw the ball deep. If it was an accurate throw, it probably would have been a 99-yard touchdown catch and run. But Jimmy G is just he's not that good at quarterback. Like, that's what we're seeing. I understand that. Like, I feel that if Jimmy G didn't play for the Patriots and didn't get drafted by Bill Belichick and play behind Tom Brady, nobody would look at him like a great quarterback or like a winning quarterback or like a quarterback that you can really win with, because you can't. Jimmy G is not that type of quarterback. Jimmy G needs the perfect system for him to be able to execute anything. And where was that perfect system? You can say the 49ers, but he spent more games probably not playing due to injury than playing. I know they was like, oh, well, when Jimmy G's in there, they're, you know, his winning percentage is good. But that ain't got nothing to do with him. That has everything to do with the team they had. But when you need Jimmy G to make throws, make clutch throws, make contested throws, make on-time throws, he's not that good. He don't push the ball down the field. He's just not really a good quarterback. Honestly, like, we being real, like, he might be good for a backup quarterback. And he might be, you know, a bottom-tier NFL quarterback, starting quarterback. But you're not winning no games with Jimmy G as your quarterback. And I think we're starting to see that now more than ever. The 49ers showed us plenty of years that they was easily trying to get rid of him because he was either injured or he wasn't performing well. I mean, the Patriots traded him as well when they could have kept him. And, you know, had him for when they let go of Tom Brady. But they didn't. If that was a quarterback you seen of your future, you wouldn't have traded him no matter what Tom Brady said. But he wasn't. That's just like, just picture Alex Smith going to the Chiefs like, hey, I need y'all to trade Patrick Mahomes because he's making me a little uncomfortable. And I know it's a different situation, different quarterbacks. But just imagine that happening. They'd be like, man, you gonna get your ass home? We keeping Patrick Mahomes. You can go. But instead, the Patriots end up trading Jimmy G. And then eventually end up letting go of Tom Brady a year after that, or 2 years after that. The Raiders just not a good team right now. Las Vegas Raiders is not a good team. There's a bunch of internal things going on with that organization, and it's going to keep happening until they figure it out. It's been like that for a while now with that organization, but they're just not a good team. The Lions, man, balled out. Jared Goff, 26 for 37, 272 yards, one touchdown, one INT. The INT he threw, you can't throw that, Jared Goff, bro. That was a scary-ass throw. You just fling it late to the outside like these ain't NFL guys you going against. You can't do that in the NFL, man. Maybe in college, a corner might come up and drop it. He might slip. He might say, oh, clap his hands. I almost caught it. But no, in the NFL, that's going pick six. And you threw it to Marcus Peters? Come on, bro. If you know anything about Marcus Peters, you know he gets his hands on the ball. He's trying to go to the crib. And that's exactly what he did. A 70-plus yard in his INT return to the crib. Because he that good. But Jared Goff, you played a decent game besides that. You can't do that, though. Jahmyr Gibbs, this was a coming out party for Jahmyr Gibbs on Monday Night Football. Let me break this down. He had 26 catches. I mean, 26 catches. No, he ain't had 26 catches. I'm tripping. He had 26 carries, 152 yards, 5.8 average, 27-yard run was his longest run. That was on a touchdown run. And he had one touchdown. And he also had five receptions. Where am I? He had five receptions for 37 yards. So this is a guy that ran the ball in between the tackles, because a lot of them runs was in between the tackles. He was in between the tackles, getting all of his yards, not just on the outside trying to stretch the defense. No, he was running down the teeth of the defense. And shout out to Ben Johnson, the offense coordinator, for designing this scheme for him, because a lot of people thought, you know, oh, they was going to use him at wide receiver. They was going to use him for ghost motions and reverses and jet sweeps and getting screens, just a bunch of gadget guys and stuff. But no, he lined up and handed the ball up to him in the backfield 26 times downhill. And Gibbs showed that he could take that. They also had Craig Reynolds, a backup running back, because Montgomery was out, of course. He had 14 carries for 74 yards. And that nice 1-2 punch, man, the Lions, that backfield is serious, man. Montgomery, Gibbs, and Reynolds, that's a serious backfield. Those some grinders back there. They making things happen. Don't I'm telling you, do not slack on this Detroit Lions offense, man. Y'all already know the weapons. On the receiving end, it had St. Brown, 6 receptions for 108 yards. Laporta, 8 receptions, 57 yards, 1 touchdown. And you got a few guys with a few catches. Man, this offense is just deep, man. There's so many levels to this offense, man. Laporta is becoming, I think, one, he's going to be, by next year, he's going to be one of the best tight ends in the game. Laporta is a great pickup. The Lions will not let Laporta get out of Detroit. He's a Detroit Lion through and thin. This whole draft class, I tweeted this last night, this whole Detroit Lions draft class is, this year, it might be the best draft class. I think it's the best draft class in Detroit Lions history. But I'm talking about out of just the draft last year. They drafted Jahmyr Gibbs, Laporta, Campbell. And who else they drafted? They drafted one more guy. Damn. I forgot who it was. But just and Branch. I'm talking Brian Branch, the safety. Those four guys right there, you can't tell me four other rookies on any other team in the NFL right now that's as productive or more productive than the four guys I just named that the Lions drafted with their first four picks in this last year's draft. You can't tell me none. These guys are productive. These guys are grinders. These guys are game changers. Laporta is a game changer. Gibbs is a game changer. Brian Branch is a game changer on for the Lions defense. He's a glue guy. He's a smart guy. He's a tough guy. He bring that grit. Campbell is another guy just like that from Iowa. You know how Iowa put them guys out. This Lions team gave up 7 points again. This defense is dominant, man. And the offense is pretty damn good as well. Like, we being real, the Lions is I ask this question. Are the Lions, Detroit Lions, a serious Super Bowl contender? I say yes. They win a division, they're going to play at home. And depending on if they the 2 seed or if they the 3 seed, I don't think they'll be the 4 seed. So they either going to be the 2 seed or the 3 seed. That's where they're going to fall at. And I think they can steal that 2 seed from either the 49ers or maybe the Eagles. Who knows how the season is going to finish. And the Lions have a very great schedule. Like, I would say easy schedule for them to take care of with their business. They got a bye week. The Lions are going into a bye week this week. Then they play at the Chargers. That should be a win. They play versus the Bears. That should be a win. They play versus the Packers on Thanksgiving. That should be a win. They play at the Saints. That should be a win. They play at the Bears. That should be a win. They play at home versus the Broncos. That should be a win. They play away at Minnesota. That should be a win. Then they play at the Cowboys. That's a toss-up. We're going to see how that goes. That's going to be a pivotal game because that's going to be fighting for seeding as well. And then they end the season at home versus the Vikings. So there's only really one really tough game on their schedule that's remaining, and that's at the Cowboys. And the rest of these games, it won't even be cold. It won't even be cold. The only cold game that they probably will play is at the I didn't even say that because they play the Broncos at home. Well, I'll probably say at the Bears, December 10th. It depends on what the weather is like in Chicago. But the rest of them is in a dome or you know, at home or on the road in a dome. They play the Saints in a dome. They play the Chargers away in a dome. The Cowboys in a dome, the Vikings in a dome. Both games are in the dome with the Vikings. Like, the only cold game they're going to play is probably with the Bears. So the Lions have a very good schedule to where they could end up being a 14-win team this year, if not 15. Who knows? Depending on how they play, I think the Lions should be 14-3. And a 14-3 team is a team that's definitely a Super Bowl contender. The Lions are a true Super Bowl contender. They're going to be getting City Deuce back in the back end. You know, he had got hurt early this year, but he's going to be coming back this later in the season. And he's going to add quality football on the back end that they're going to be able to use. Who knows if they're going to make a trade today for a pass rusher or for whoever. They got one of the top offensive linemen. I've been saying that shit since I've been doing the podcast on Off the Top Show. Shout out to my dog, RJ. I've been saying this. The Lions is a serious contender, Super Bowl contender. They went out there and dominate. They be dominating. And I love to see it because this is the best Lions team I've ever seen with my own two eyes. This is the best Lions team. Shout out to Coach Campbell, Dan Campbell. Shout out to the whole coaching staff. They changed the culture in Detroit for the Lions. They literally changed the culture. I'm sure guys love going to work and they love practicing. They love all the shit that they probably didn't love with Patricia. I heard bad stories about Patricia being there. In Detroit, being the head coach for Detroit, I heard really, really bad stories. I'm sure Dan Campbell changed all of that around. So shout out to the Lions, man. They definitely are serious Super Bowl contenders for sure. They should be a 14-win, 15-win team this year, at the least 13. So I'm excited to see, you know, how they continue to grow as a team, as an organization. And they 6-2 going into the bye week. So they get a bye week right now. They can relax. They can sit back. They can get healthy, get a couple of their guys back, add a couple more plays on offense and defense, and thrive, man. So I'm excited what I see with the Lions, man. Shout out to the Detroit Lions. Great win last night on Monday Night Football. Let's get the Lions on Monday night and Sunday Night Football a lot more. This need to happen moving forward. The Lions are one of the most dominant teams in the NFL, and I don't see it changing in the next few years. So they need to be on Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football a lot more. For real, for real. All right, let's switch it over to this basketball, man. The Lakers then snuck one through last night on Orlando Magic. I don't know why I was even that close, but it's the beginning of the season. Obviously, you know, people have to gel together, go through the grind together. Yeah, they had, you know, similar guys they had last year on the team, but it's a new season. There's new challenges. There's new obstacles. And that's just what it is. So they end up winning 106-103. I seen LeBron James hit a three-pointer with less than 2 minutes left, down by two, to take them up by one. He hit a three-pointer to make it 101-100. LeBron had, 19 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists. He had 5 turnovers, though. Don't want to see the 5 turnovers. But LeBron is kind of coasting right now, and that's cool, man. It's LeBron. We know who LeBron is. He's the greatest player of all time. I don't need to be analyzing his game 3 or game 4 in fucking October. You feel me? I don't need to be doing that. I would like to see him play, do his thing, play 32 minutes. That's where you want him at right now. His cap should be 32 minutes. 15 minutes in the first half, 17 minutes in the second half, and that should be it. For until Martin Luther King Day. That's what it is. Solid game by him. D'Angelo Russell came through with a game last night. Came through with a good game. I don't expect for D'Angelo Russell to have 28-8, 10 for 14, field goals, 3 for 6 from the three-point line. I don't expect for him to do that. But I expect for him to give – I expect for D'Lo to give you – 16 to 21 points a night. If he can do that and be effective, that will be good. But it just depends on if he can do that. Austin Reeves, I'll probably say he's a little tired from playing, you know, USA ball, traveling, going back and forth, just playing a lot of, you know, highly committed hoops in the offseason. You can tell he's kind of tired. Right now, he probably his legs a little drained. That I'm not giving him any excuses or anything like that, but that's what I'm probably seeing from his slow start for the season so far. I think he'll be good as the season goes on, as he gets his legs back under him, as he continue to get in rhythm, get in flow, because we need him to score more than 11 points. We need Austin Reeves to be a sniper. Be a guy we can depend on every night. That's what it is. They say he's a part of the Big Three, and he's the third best player on the Lakers. Well, he need to show up every night. It is what it is. He need to score. That's what I need from Austin Reeves. Austin Reeves need to average 20 points this year and 5 assists. He need to be 40% in the three-point. Catch and shoot. Off the dribble, shoot, pick and roll, all of that. He need to be a dominant force on the offensive end and just fight on defense. AD, man, I know all these sites and shows on ESPN and FS1, and they all love taking their shots at Anthony Davis and saying, you know, he has to show up better and he has to do this and he has to do that. But Anthony Davis had 26 points, 19 rebounds, and a big thing he had was 5 assists. That means he's keeping his head up as he's dribbling the ball. He's distributing the ball. If you know Anthony Davis, he's not really passing the ball like that. But to, in order to have five assists, that's big time from him. That means, you know, he's seeing that, okay, guys are double teaming me. They're collapsing on me. I can kick the ball over here and get an open shot from my other guys. And that's another component to his game. He was 12 for 18 from the field. He also had three blocks and one steal. And he dominated the game. Like, come on now. Like, we can't keep clowning Anthony Davis. Like, we know who he is. There's going to be some games he don't show up. But there's all-stars don't show up. We just seen the other night that Damian Lillard had 6 points. Damian Lillard scored 6 points in an NBA game. And he's a top 75 player. But nobody's jumping down his throat. And they lost to the Hawks. The Bucks lost to the Hawks, and he had 6 points that game. But nobody's jumping down, you know, Dame's throat. But we want to consistently go at Anthony Davis, and he ain't doing nothing but giving us averaging 28 points, 15 rebounds, 4 blocks a game, and 3 assists a game right now, and 2 steals. Come on, huh? We got to give him some grace. I love the way Anthony Davis is playing. If Anthony Davis is on the court, I love it. If he's playing like he played in the playoffs last year, I love it. Even though last year, remember they were talking about every other game, you know, you never gonna know what you're going to get from him. But he's on the court affecting the game. One thing you know you're going to get from Anthony Davis is defense. You know he's going to dominate on the defensive end. Offense might come and go, but that's why we signed Rui. For offense. That's why we signed D'Lo to spread the floor and continue to create shots and make shots. That's why we signed Austin Reeves to score more points. That's why you signed Gabe Vincent. That's why you signed Christian Wood. You signed a bunch of guys that can get a bucket for themselves and for other players. So it's offense and defense shouldn't just be all on Anthony Davis. I love what they got going on. The Lakers are 2-2. I remember last year the Lakers didn't get 2 wins until I think they was 1-9 at a certain time last year. They was 0-5 before they got a win last year. And then before they got 2 wins, I think they was 1-10. So to be 2-2 right now, going into game 5 where they're going to play against the Clippers. And obviously we just had some big news come from the Clippers organization. I'll talk about that right after this. Going into that game, playing against the Clippers on Wednesday night, it's going to be dope. They're 2-2. I don't know what the Clippers record is. Let me see what the Clippers record is. The Clippers are 2-1. I think the Clippers play the Magic tonight. If I'm not mistaken. Yep, they play the Magic tonight. So they're going to be coming off of back-to-back. The Lakers just came off of back-to-back. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a good game. So I'm excited to see. I like what I'm seeing from the Lakers, man. They got to continue to get their chemistry together, continue to gel. Gabe Vincent hit a three-pointer last night. Yeah, that was his first one of the season. It took 4 games to hit one. But he's going to continue to get in rhythm. Christian Wood played pretty well last night. Christian Wood had 3 blocks. He had 9 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks. That's pretty good. I would love to see Max Christie play more. I know that's a whole little thing about, oh, why Max playing and Cam Reddish? Why Max Christie not playing and Cam Reddish playing? Max did all this work in the offseason and worked on his game and got stronger and worked on his catch and shoot threes and on the ball pressure defense. I just feel like they signed Cam Reddish to play him to see if he can fit. I think they know Max Christie can fit. And you want to give Cam Reddish a chance to see if he could find his stride within the first like 20 games. And if he can't, they might be packaging him up and trading him. But remember, you got to also remember, just think about it. Last year, Austin Reeves didn't play a lot until after the trade deadline. He wasn't finishing games. He wasn't even playing in a lot. There was games where he was DNP at the beginning of the season last year because of the roster situation and the minutes trying to be distributed because they had, you know, Patrick Beverley, Lonnie Walker, and Russell Westbrook. They was trying to play them and see how it can go with them. But then at the end of the day, Austin Reeves became the guy. I think that's going to be the same trail that Max Christie has. Max Christie just had to be patient, and who knows, around January, he's going to start playing like that. He's going to start playing, and he's going to be in the rotation, and he's going to be checking some. He's going to be checking guys on the perimeter and becoming a great wing defender and catch-and-shoot three-point guy. That's what I see from him. So if he just, you know, continue to be patient, and it's all going to work out for him, I can definitely see that happening. But good win for the Lakers. Just got to keep stacking up them wins, man. Ugly or not, it don't matter. You got to keep stacking up them wins. LeBron got to continue to be the best player in the world. You know, AD got to continue to do his thing. Continue to stay healthy. Continue to make the easy shots. And guys got to continue to find their stride around them. Everybody got to play better around them. So that's a good win. Let's briefly talk about a few of these other games that happened in the NBA yesterday. Boston blew out the Wizards last night. Both Tatum and Jaylen Brown had 30-plus points. And they balling. You know, that duo is doing its thing. They balling. The Celtics look good so far. Porzingis looked like a great move. Drew Holiday looked like a great move. They might need another guy or two off their bench come in that can make some things happen. But Boston looked like Boston. They got their two head honchos and Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And those are the guys that's going to carry them to the championship. So great win for them. And they're going to continue to do their thing. Chicago Bulls beat the Pacers 112-110. The Bulls got a good win. They went into Indiana and dominated the game, obviously. You go into somebody else's arena and win the game, that's pretty good. But what's up, Haliburton? Come on, you got $260 million. You can't be losing the game at home to the Bulls. I don't care if you had 19 points and 13 assists. You need to learn how to win the games. They gave you $260 million. Win the game. Moving on from that. Brooklyn went into Charlotte and got a W. Let's talk about Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas is averaging 30 points right now in the NBA. He's getting buckets. Only made 1-3. He's 10 for 17 from the field. So he's getting to the basket, mid-range, getting to the free throw line, balling. This was probably by far Ben Simmons' best game. Ben Simmons had 11 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists. 5 for 6 from the field. Had one block. And I'm sure he plays some high-level defense. I love what I'm seeing from Ben Simmons, man. He's out there on the floor. You feel me? He's playing. He's competing. And that's what it's about. Just do that. You ain't got to be an all-star no more. You ain't got to be what the NBA think you was going to be or anything. You just got to go out there and continue to play. Continue to dominate. Let's move over to this Charlotte Hornets. How about LaMelo Ball? First of all, he only played 21 minutes, 8 points, and he got fouled out. So obviously he was in foul trouble a lot. 0 for 6 from 3. Come on. You a max player now. Charlotte needs you to play better than that. They need you to score points. They need you to add to their winning. The rookie, Brandon Miller, looked good. 22 points. He's looking pretty good, man. Looking pretty good. Watch out for Terry Rozier and him going to another team this offseason. He's probably going to get traded somewhere. I mean, not this offseason, but around the trade deadline. Terry Rozier will not be in Charlotte. He's going to be somewhere contributing to a winning team. Who knows? He might end up back in Boston. Who knows? But good win for Brooklyn right there. Portland beat the Raptors 99-91. nothing to really talk about there. We're going to move on from there. The Thunder beat the Pistons 124 to 112. Shai Gilgeous, he had what? 32 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Only made 1 3, so obviously he was getting buckets out there. Shai is pretty good, man. This Thunder team is pretty good. They're young, they're athletic, they play hard. Chet Holmgren had 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Got to get some more rebounds, but he had 4 blocks and 2 steals. Like, that's big time right there. So, Jalen Williams had 19 points, and Josh Giddey had 21 points. This team is rangy, man. This Thunder team is going to surprise some teams this year. So, watch out. Don't sleep on that Thunder team, man, for real. The Grizzlies lost at home to the Mavericks, 125-110. The Grizzlies is having a tough start right now. They are 0-4. Obviously, Ja Morant is suspended for the first 25 games of the year, and the Grizzlies are suffering because of it. They will probably only win – I don't think they're going to win no more than 5 games by the time he get back. I think the Grizzlies are going to be 4-21 or 5-20 when Ja Morant get back, and that's going to be a tough hole to dig themselves out of. Obviously, Luka balled out. Luka, the Mavericks are 3-0 right now. Kyrie Irving didn't play last night. Luka had 35, 12, and 12. He shows why he's one of the best players in the NBA. He had help. I mean, Josh Green had 12 points. Grant Williams gave him 15. Derrick Jones gave him 22 points. 22, 4 for 6 from the three-point line. That's big time. Tim Hardaway gave him 21 points. 3 for 7 from the three-point line. So they have guys that can hoop and that can play and that can shoot on this team. So Mavericks, they start off the season pretty good right now. Moving on from that, Golden State went into New Orleans and popped them 130 to 102. Steph Curry had a night, 42 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 7 threes. Another Steph Curry night. Had him out there doing whatever he wanted to do out there. He's going to have a lot of nights like that, though. Because he's not getting a lot of points from these guys. Him and Moody is the only two starters last night that scored in double figures. Andrew Wiggins had 9 points. Draymond Green had 6 points. Looney had 8 points. Moses had 13 points. And Steph had 42. So just imagine if Steph don't have 42 points. Where is the scoring going to come from? Where is the scoring going to come from? We're going to see. Obviously, Brandon Ingram didn't play last night, but I mean, Zion is just forced, right? Zion need to be able to carry. He need to be able to ball out. This is another guy that you just opened up the contract book and said, here go to Max. And he's only playing 29 minutes and 19 points. I mean, what can you do with that? There's another guy on his team that had 19 points. That's CJ McCollum. So both of y'all giving the same thing. I don't know. You're supposed to be this real dominant guy, Zion. I would love to see that more. Probably got to get in shape or whatever it is so you can play more games, but it's time to tighten up. Denver with a great win. Denver is showing that they definitely one of the best teams in the NBA, period. Jamal Murray looked like he's in his bag. Obviously, Joker doing his thing, of course. Jamal Murray, 18 points, 14 assists. Jamal Murray had 14 assists last night. Come on now. You got two guys that can give you 15 assists a game, any given game, in Joker and Jamal Murray. Joker had 27 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. Obviously, I think he just passed LeBron James in a triple-double list. I think he had like 108, 107, something like that. He just passed him to be fourth on the list. That's Joker, man. I seen somebody tweeted like, man, hey, we might be in the Joker era now in the NBA. And we just might be, man. The championship might have to go through Denver, you know. You know, Joker might just be the best player in the NBA right now. We're going to see. It's a long season. But obviously, the Nuggets are 4-0. They haven't lost a game yet. Starting off where they was last year. And last but not least, let's go on to this Miami Heat in the Bucks game. Miami traveled to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee won 122 to 114. Miami Heat, they have some scoring. Tyler Hero dropped 35 points last night. Jimmy Butler gave you a whopping 13 points. I mean, I know it's the regular season and all, and you know, Jimmy Butler don't really care about the regular season, but you need to be able to win some of these games. You need to be able to win. If you're a superstar, you got to be a superstar. It's some people that had Jimmy Butler in their top 10. You have to be a superstar during the regular season. That matters. Yeah, the playoffs matter, but you have to be able to do that shit in the regular season as well. And he's going to have to do that in order for them to win. Playing 28 minutes right now, that's not... You need to play more. Antetokounmpo gave you 33 points, 7 rebounds. Good thing he was 8 for 11 from the free throw line. That's pretty good. Damian Lillard gave you 25 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 for 7 from the three-point line. But they gave you points. Chris Middleton only played 17 minutes. I think he's still coming back from his injury. So we'll see how that turns out. So, I mean, obviously, Dame chose the Miami Heat as the destination he wanted to go to. So this was a little matchup because he was supposed to be in a Miami Heat jersey, but now he's in a Milwaukee jersey. And obviously his team beat Miami Heat. And who knows if it would have went different if Dame would have been in a Heat jersey. I don't know. Who knows? But pay attention to that matchup right there, Milwaukee versus Miami, because they will possibly meet in the playoffs, and we're going to see what's going to happen. And last but not least, man, obviously there was some trade news that happened last night. There was some news that happened last night regarding James Harden. James Harden was traded to the Los Angeles Clippers. James Harden and PJ Tucker and Flip, I don't know his name, Philip Protrusive was traded to the Clippers last night for Marcus Morris, Nicholas Batum, Robert Covington, KJ Martin, two 2028 unprotected first round pick, 2 second round picks, a pick swap, and a first round pick from a third team. So Harden got his wish. He did not play again for Daryl Morey. He said he wasn't playing against him. He said he wasn't playing for him. He wanted to go to the Clippers. He didn't quit his way out of another team. I mean, for lack of, you know, lexicon. You know, obviously they say he quit his way out of Houston. Then he quit his way out of Brooklyn. And now they're saying he just did the same thing and quit his way out of Philadelphia. He got what he wanted once again. I think this is the last time he gets what he wants from the NBA, though. I don't think he signs a max deal next year. I don't know. It's going to be – this is a pivotal year for James Harden. This year might be the most important year of his career. It is, because I can easily see him being out of the league next year. But I can see him being in the league as well. But it just depends on how his approach is. And his approach this offseason and not showing up to training camp for 10 days and leaving and all of these things that goes on, that shit ain't a good look on. It ain't a good look for him. So, but first I'm going to tell you why I think this trade can work. Obviously, you have a facilitator and a ball handler and a playmaker in James Harden that the Clippers have not had in a long time. They always just had to, you know, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George had to create shots for themselves, and they didn't have nobody to pass them the ball off of pick and roll or pass them the ball in the post, or just somebody that can create their own shot and take the attention away from them on offense. They haven't had that third guy like that yet. They always had to create a lot of shots for themselves. But now they have James Harden. You know, there's a time in the NBA where people were saying James Harden was the best scorer ever. And this is still James Harden. He might be 5 years older than that, but he's still James Harden. He still can shoot the three. He still can give you a 40-point playoff game like he did last year. He still can knock down 5-plus threes in a game. He can give you 10 assists. You know, his game has diversity. So I'm sure he's going to add a great component to this team on the offensive end for sure. And it's going to take pressure off of, you know, off Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. If one of those guys happen to miss games, miss 10 games, miss 15 games, miss 25, 30 games, or, you know, just miss a random game on a Tuesday because their knee soreness or whatever. I don't want to, you know, speak on anybody's injuries or anything like that. But James Harden will be out there. So if anything, it'll be James Harden and Paul George, you know, or James Harden and Kawhi Leonard playing that night instead of just Paul George or just Kawhi Leonard or neither one of them. You feel me? So it's good. It's going to be a good look for them. Obviously, he wanted to play there. He got there. And now we get to see how it's going to look with him there. So those are the ways I think that it will work for the Clippers. Are they a championship contender? I think they was a championship contender before. You know, if they're healthy, they're one of those teams that could, they have the depth, they have the coaching, and they have the two head honcho guys that could win the championship if they're healthy and they're on the court. So I think they was a championship contender before James Harden signed there or got traded there, and I think they are there now. I think they are a championship contender now as well. Another low-key great move for them was getting P.J. Tucker as well. That's a guy that could, you know, do the dirty work, check some of the guys on defense. Now they have another guy on defense that they can put on a Giannis, or I'm not saying he's going to be the lockdown Giannis or anything like that, or put on a LeBron, or they have another body that they can, you know, throw at other teams, wing defenders. They have a guy that's defensive minded and that can shoot the corner 3-point shot. That just plays winning basketball. So that's a good move as well. Now let's talk about how this could possibly not work. You also have Russell Westbrook on this team. So how is that going to work a backcourt with Russell Westbrook and James Harden? Because who you going to have on the ball? Both of them need the ball in their hand. We seen when you took Russ off of the ball and with the Lakers, that shit didn't work. They were teammates before too. Obviously they were teammates twice. They started their careers together in OKC. And then in the prime of both of their careers, basically, they were teammates in Houston. And James Harden needed the ball. And Russell Westbrook was one of those guys that was on the side looking around like he don't know what to do because he need the ball in his hand. I'm sure Russell Westbrook has had the ball in his hand his whole life. So he is a guy that needs the ball in his hand. And they need to, like, figure out a way that they're going to be able to coexist together within this offense. Because you also have two guys that can dominate the ball as well. And Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Those are two guys that need the ball in their hands as well. So it's only one basketball, and you're probably going to potentially have four starters that need the ball in their hand. I would say Paul George, he's the lesser one that don't need the ball in his hand as much. I think he can get some catch and shoots and does things like this, but Paul George still is a shot maker and a shot creator for him and for others as well. So, and I think he's the most serious threat on that offense with the ball in his hand. And that's Paul George. So he's going to need the ball in his hand as well. So that's the question with this Clippers team. Obviously, it's defense as well. But knowing that you got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the court, they might be able to make up for the lack of defense that will come from Russell Westbrook and James Harden. We shall see, though. We don't know how it's going to work. But I just gave you reasons on how it can work and why they are a championship contender. And I just gave you reasons why it cannot work. You know, health is always a thing. James Harden has been hurt in the past, these last few years. Kawhi has been hurt these last few years. Paul George has missed games these last few years. So that's a part of the game. Injuries are a part of the game. And who knows when they're going to come, when they're not going to come, if they're going to come, how long they're going to be, how serious they are. Who knows? But they have a lot of pieces right now. They was able to keep Terrence Mann, Bones Highland, and that's pretty good. You got some guys that can play as well. So this Clipper team is always deep. This Clippers team has been deep for a long time. They just have been unhealthy. But adding James Harden and Russell Westbrook to this unit and PJ Tucker and not giving up a lot and keeping Terrence Mann and, like I said, Bones Highland, this was a great move for the Clippers. So once again, let's say the Clippers are healthy in the playoffs and they're healthy, like their guys are playing every night. Are we sure the Nuggets are the team to win? I don't know. Because who said that the Nuggets and the Clippers play? Or Phoenix and the Clippers play? I think the Clippers would have beat Phoenix last year in the playoffs in the first round if they would have had Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. I mean, yeah, either one. Not if they would have had both of them, they definitely would have beat the Suns. But if they would have just had one, they would have beat the Suns last year. So just imagine that both of them are there. I love what I'm seeing from the Clippers, man. That was a great move, great trade, great blockbuster trade. James Harden gets what he wants and goes to this team. Let's see what he has. Let's see what type of game he's going to play. Let's see how he's going to fit in. Is he going to start? Is he going to come off the bench? Who knows, man? Everything is up for grabs right now, so we're going to see. Love what I'm seeing, man. But I'm going to end it off there. Obviously, y'all probably hear that little noise in the back. It's all good. It's the elements. It's things that happen. Whatever. You got to be able to talk and coach through it all. You know, it's all love. But appreciate y'all for tuning into the Speak On It podcast, man. Another episode. And we just going to keep dropping them, man. We're going to keep dropping the episodes. We're going to keep talking about these sports. And I'm going to add some more topics in as well. We're going to talk about some different variety of topics as well, because of course I'm going to talk about sports and matchups and wins and losses and players and progressions and all of that. But I'm going to expand the horizons as well. So there we go. Welcome to another episode of the Speak On It podcast. Appreciate y'all for tuning in with your boy T-Lip, man. Subscribe, man. Share to a friend. And we grooving. Lip out.